Lord Jesus, in your mercy, hear our prayers. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.
Our second testament reading this morning is from John chapter 6, verses 35 through 51, found on page 101 in your pew Bible. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. Everything that the Father gives me will come to me, and anyone who comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. This is indeed the will of my Father, that all who see the Son and believe in him may have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day." Then the Jews began to complain about him, because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They were saying, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus answered them, "Do not complain amongst yourselves. No one can come to me unless drawn by the Father who sent me, and I will raise that person up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'And they shall all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." Thanks be to God.
Well, we are in what I'm calling a Bread of Life pentathlon in honor of the Olympics, closing day, right? Did we win any medals today? Have we broke the 18 medals? Anyone? Current events, people? Wow, you're so spiritual focused. Well, we're in a Bread of Life pentathlon. 5 Sundays, and I hope you got one of these on the way in. 5 Sundays, 5 bread sermons. Take, read, and believe. And so that's the TNIV version, today's New International Version, of John chapter 6. And we are in our third of 5 sermons with John chapter 6. And so I do want you to read this over the next couple of weeks or carry it with you just so that you have these texts and this story swirling around in your heart, your mind, your imagination, even as we continue to walk through and preach through the Bread of Life. 3 weeks ago, Becky started us off on this pentathlon, and it was the feeding of the 5,000. And she challenged us to enlarge our imaginations. Can we imagine what it would mean to serve a God of abundance versus a God of scarcity? What does it mean for us to imagine impossible things and then believe that God might bring those impossible things to places of possibility? Could this Jesus really be who he said he was? Is it really possible for us to see the world the way Jesus saw the world? Through eyes of providence, through eyes of abundance, through eyes of love, through eyes of mercy, through eyes and mouths that always said, there is enough. There is enough. There is enough. And then last week, Tana continued to help us press further into this pretty fascinating but also disturbing story. And she asked us to say questions like, what are we looking for? What are we looking for from God? What are we asking for from God to help us make sense of the world? And she also said, what does this simply trusting look like? What does it feel like? What's the image of that in our minds, our hearts, the way that we see the world? What does it mean to believe that Jesus is the bread of life? And her closing image last week was to challenge us to be like a cat. Who was here last week? Do you remember the cat image? She talked about purring in the presence of a God who carries us. To purr in the presence of a God who carries us. And so with these images of abundance, a God who provides, and these images of companionship, a God who is with us, with these images in our mind, let's keep on pressing into John 6. Because it starts getting crazy. This is not just some outlandish novel. It's not just a self-help story. This is the living Word of God. And one thing that we've been talking about over the past year in terms of biblical preaching is, what does it mean to live into this story and then live out of this living story to follow Christ? And what we've been trying to do from Sunday to Sunday is not just preach sermons to tell you how to be good citizens. That's nice. But what we've tried to do is say, where you get that power to go worldward, to go journey outward, is from living into the world of this sacred text of ours. To imagine that God moves still, to imagine that God speaks to us as he spoke to the crowds and the disciples in these sacred texts of ours, and then God sends us to practice the way of Jesus, to be a people who share the truth of Jesus, to be a people who bear the life of Jesus in us for the life of the world. And I know that's a journey of trying to understand what it means to live into and out of the story. And I just hope that we will continue to explore what that means for us as a community of faith, to live into and out of the story. And so when we do that, we might find ourselves in John chapter 6 asking similar questions that this crowd was asking. And so if you've got your Bibles open or if you've got that sheet right before you, in verse 29, as the crowd is trying to figure out who Jesus is, they ask this question, what must we do to do the works God requires? I think that's an important question in this text. Verse 29, what must we do the works God requires? And do you ever wonder that? What am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do as someone who says I believe in God, following Jesus? What am I supposed to do? And Jesus' answer goes like so. The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. To believe in the one he has sent. And so one of the big challenges for us in John chapter 6 as we walk with this text for the rest of the month is to be a people who believe. This is one of the main messages of the Gospel of John, right? John 3:16, whoever believes in me, I love this translation that I read this week, whoever believes in me will not self-destruct, but have lasting life. And that's a big push in John's Gospel, that we might be a people who believe. And so then, specifically as we enter today's text, this belief might get rattled a bit. But we do learn that this journey of belief isn't all up to us to conjure up in our own strength. We need to echo, or Jesus assures us, that we are drawn to God. We are drawn to the Father. Today's text starts in verse 35. In the midst of the crowd trying to figure out how to keep this bread miracle going, Jesus presents the first of seven I am statements in John, the Gospel of John. And the first one is this: I am the bread of life. And as Tana mentioned last week, that doesn't mean that there's a bread truck always sitting in front of your house bringing loaves every day, right? This isn't about finding bread that just keeps on coming to us. But this is about a relationship with God. And this blows everyone's mind in first century Judaism in this context, and I think it continues to blow our minds today. Jesus continues on in verse 36 to 40, and he says things like this: anyone who comes to me, I will never drive away. In verse 39, I should lose nothing of all that the Father has given me. And then in verse 40, all who see the Son and believe in him may have eternal life. These seem to be phrases of comfort, and you'd think in first century Jerusalem, maybe the religious bookstores might have had these phrases on plaques. But it's interesting to note the response of the crowd to Jesus saying all these things. In verse 41, we read that the Jews, the religious leaders, began to complain because he said, I am the bread of life. I find that interesting. Here Jesus saying, I'm with you, I'm the bread of life, you can't come to me unless you're drawn. And then the religious leaders get mad. And I'm always careful to get too self-righteous in pointing at religious leaders, because I think religious leaders are often like us, those of us who are Jesus followers in the church, that we're prone to be like the religious leaders, that we might be grumbling and complaining too. And in verse 43, Jesus says, basically in forceful Greek, the phrase is, do not complain amongst yourself. But in the Greek, it's zippitus te lipitus. Shut up. Zip your lips. I'm kidding. It's not really zippitus thy lipitus. I'm just seeing if anyone's listening. But it's a forceful phrasing of the Greek where he's saying, shut up. Not, oh, would you mind listening to me a little further? Instead, Jesus tells the religious leaders, and maybe us, to stop complaining, stop grumbling, stop debating, and listen to Jesus. And he says things like, no one can come to me unless drawn by the Father, verse 44. In verse 48, I am the bread of life. In verse 50, this is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. And then verse 51, and this will lead us into next week's text as well. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. And then this leads into next week's text, which gets more and more intense. And so here we are in the third leg of the Bread of Life pentathlon. And I want us to just kind of hunker down just for a few minutes and try to wrestle with this, who is this bread of life image. Now, we read that, yes, Jesus is the bread of life. And I'm going to just move a little closer here. Am I still on? Okay, good. This is what I also do in August. I move around and make you feel uncomfortable. Who is this bread of life? Now, our Sunday school answer is, it's Jesus, right? Jesus is the bread of life. But for those of us who've been going to church for lots of years, and maybe, yes, we... is the bread of life, I want us just to try to Try to press in deeper, because when in this context, when Jesus says he is the bread of life, the religious leaders and the crowd got mad. And one of the reasons they got mad was because Jesus was just a pretty ordinary person in their lives, right? What's the phrase in the text? Is this not Joseph's son? Don't we know this person? And now he's saying he came from the sky. Now he's saying he's sky divine man. But we know this kid was just running around the streets back in the day. And so, you know, I think there's a challenge for us. What do we think about Jesus these days? Is he just merely this legend who lived 2,000 years ago that taught us the golden rule and how to be nice people? I think the conservative Christians get it wrong because they think that Jesus is this superhero who magically makes us be nice people, nicer Christians, or more thoughtful Christians. I think the liberal Christians get it wrong because they just think Jesus is this troubadour with a ukulele playing gentle songs along the shore of Galilee. Everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. But I think we too get lulled into our own perception of Jesus. Is that a sign from God? We get lulled into our own perceptions of Jesus, where we either think he's too neat and tidy and he'd never do that, he's too nice, or we either think he's just so nothing, just some mist or some mystical thing that he doesn't ever demand anything of us, or invite us to change, or invite us to be convicted about something, or invite us to be transformed. And so for the next few weeks, as we wrestle with this Jesus of life image, let's really try to press in. One of my favorite preachers, Will Willimon, has a great reflection on this piece, and I've put it in your bulletins today so that you can carry it with you. And so right at the bottom right-hand corner of your bulletin is this lengthy quote from Will Willimon. And just as we close, I want to focus on the questions that he asks. Because he basically saying Jesus stands before us. And yes, that's mystical, and yes, that's radical, and we don't fully comprehend what that means, but Jesus stands before us. Jesus is the bread of life. And though we sometimes like to keep God spiritual and high and mighty and away from us, Jesus is here. And I really like the last paragraph of that reading. He writes, "Our hungers are so deep. We are bundles of seemingly insatiable need, rushing here and there in a vain attempt to assuage our emptiness. Our culture is a vast supermarket of desire." And then he asks some great questions. Can it be that our bread, our fulfillment, stands before us in the presence of this crucified, resurrected Jew? Can it be that many of our desires are in the eternal scheme of things pointless? Might it be true that he is the bread we need, even though he is rarely the bread we seek? And is it true that God has come to us, miraculously with us, before us, like manna that is miraculously dropped into our wilderness? These are great questions, and I hope you'll carry these questions in this John 6 text with you in the next few weeks. And I'd love to hear how God might be speaking to you, how this bread of life, this living God, might be encountering you in these days. Send me an email, drop me a phone call, share a story. And so today, the reason that the bread is here is that I just thought, as we close with a couple minutes of silence, that we would pass the bread during that silence. And take a piece of bread or take a gluten-free cracker. And as you're chewing that piece of bread, just think about what it means for Jesus to be bread of life for you at such a time as this. What does it mean for him to be your sustenance? And what does that mean for you as you are sent into the world, into the real world this week, to be bread of life bearers to wherever God calls you in this week? And so you'll note that the pieces of bread are pretty big. This isn't those tiny little blocks that we sometimes pass around in communion that get stuck in your cavity. These are pieces of bread that you chew and you mulch on and you reflect about what it means for Jesus to be bread of life for you. And so I'm going to pass this bread, and Becky's going to get one started on the other side. And as you're passing the bread, will you say these words to one another? The bread of life given for you. I know we usually don't do that when we pass plates around, but this isn't communion. This is an object lesson. The bread of life given for you. The living bread given for you, however you want to say it. But may it be this living reminder that Jesus moves amongst the pews today, wants to encounter us, wants to feed us, wants to change us, wants to convict us, wants to transform us, wants to shake us up, wants to wake us up. A living bread on the move here in this place, in the city, around the world. This is the bread of life. This is the living bread of heaven given for us.